This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome my dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project with you, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. We hope, inshallah, in this beautiful month of Ramadan, that your siyam, your qiyam, your salatul taraweeh, tilawah of the noble Quran, your zakah, your sadaqah, all of these matters are in order, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, and that you are reaping the best out of this month. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this month of Ramadan, he received the first revelation, Iqra', read, Iqra', Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, in the name of your Rabb who created. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, in the same month, the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the angel Jibreel, who revised with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the noble Quran in every Ramadan. And in his final Ramadan, they revised the Quran twice. Allah states in the noble Quran, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. This month, how did Allah define it? What did Allah talk about? What did Allah mention with regards to this month? In this month, the Quran was revealed. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, a lot of our ibadat occurs in this month. Walhamdulillah, and we know that many of us, we pay our zakah in this month. We give a lot of sadaqah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And due to that fact, walhamdulillah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, tonight and the rest of the episodes for this month of Ramadan, we will touch upon, we will discuss some of the ahkam, we will discuss some of those ahadith of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to this third most important pillar of al-Islam, which is the matter of zakah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, in the month of Ramadan, two pillars of Islam take place. The first one being that this month is the month of Ramadan, fasting is a pillar of our deen. The second one, that many of us sort out our zakah in this month, and that's another pillar of the religion, walhamdulillah. As for salah, masha'Allah, tabarakallah, throughout the entire year, 5 daily prayers every single day, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will go through selected ahadith, we will do a summarized explanation of Kitab al-Zakah, the book of Zakah, from the greater book, from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by the great muhaddith, the great alim, the great scholar Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. But before getting deep into the matters of zakah, Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, a quick introduction bi-iznillahi ta'ala. That this zakah, what does zakah mean lughatan? What does it mean linguistically? We find, subhanAllah, the scholars of the Arabic language state that zakah means ziyada. It means nama. Ziyada and nama mean what? Mean an increase. An increase, subhanAllah. Why, Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah? Because when you pay your zakah, you will get barakah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. You are the rich man. You are the individual who has reached the quantum, the nisab, and so you have to pay zakah. The conditions for zakah payment are applicable upon you, and we will discuss the conditions later on. If they apply upon you, you need to pay zakah, and this is barakah for you bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. How? Because zakah means barakah. Zakah means ziyada. It means increase. It means nama. And subhanAllah, for the one who is the recipient of zakah, well, if it's increase, well, it's increase in his wealth. If he had nothing, well, now he's going to get something. So from both sides, the payer, he gets barakah. And the receiver, he is the one who has this physical increase in their wealth. Walhamdulillah. Zakah also means kathra. It means abundance. It also means tahara, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the noble Quran, خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها. Take from them this sadaqah. Sadaqah here meaning the matter of zakah. خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم, so that this will be a purification for them. Subhanallah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. That's in Surah 9, verse number 103. It also means madh. Madh, which means to praise. And it means barakah. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating the noble Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not overpraise yourself. Allah knows who in reality the one who has taqwa is. So here the word zakah, what did it mean? It meant overpraising yourself, praising yourself. I am this, I am that, etc. Allah knows who has the correct taqwa. So Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, linguistically zakah means ziyada, and nama, which means increase. It means kathra, abundance. It means tahara, purification for you and for your wealth. It means praising, and it also means barakah, walhamdulillah. As for the legal definition, then we find that some of the ulama have stated that it is haqqun wajib. Jayid, haqqun wajib. It is a haqq, it is a right, it is an obligatory right. Not a recommended right, but rather it is an obligatory right. Haqqun mali, haqqun wajib fi malin khas. It is haqqun wajib, an obligatory right upon certain types of wealth. Upon certain types of wealth. لِطَائِفَةٍ مَخْصُوصَ, for a specific group of people. Not everybody pays zakah, but only a specific group of people pay the zakah. فِي وَقْتٍ مَخْصُوصٍ, جَيْد, during a specific time, for a specific group of people. From a specific group of people, for a specific group of people, during a specific time, جَيْد. So in English, we might summarize it and say that this here, zakah, is an act of worship due upon specific wealth, not all your assets, but rather your zakatable assets. Act of worship due upon specific types of wealth for specific people, given to specific people, Surah Tawbah, verse number 60, at a specific time in the year. And we'll talk more about that later on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, zakah is the third pillar of al-Islam, subhanallah. Those ahadith, the hadith of Jibreel, where the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked the definition of Islam, and he mentioned the five pillars of al-Islam. The other famous ahadith which talk about the five pillars of Islam, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams, Islam has been built upon five, and then the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lists them one after the other. Zakah is there. It was made an obligation when? In the years of Mecca? No. It was not an obligation in Mecca. Rather, it became an obligation upon the Muslims in the second year after the hijrah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the opinion according to majority of the ulama. I repeat, zakah became an obligation upon the Muslims in the second year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this means the entire 13 years of Makkah, zakah was not an obligation. The first year in Medina, zakah was not an obligation. But then subhanallah, we do find zakah mentioned in the verses of Makkah about 8 times. So the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Mecca, and there were verses which were revealed, and they mentioned the matter of zakah, but these were verses of Mecca. And we just mentioned zakah was only made an obligation in Medina. So what we say, brothers and sisters, is that the institution of zakah was there, but it was not an obligation. It was a recommendation. It was you giving some charity, walhamdulillah. And this also shows us the importance of zakah, that even though it was not an obligation in Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, mentioned it 8 times in the Meccan verses, walhamdulillah. So it was mashru', it was legislated, but it was not an obligation during the period of Mecca. Excellent. We move on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, that zakah is mentioned 32 times in the Noble Quran with salah. Mentioned together with salah 32 times, subhanallah. Aqimu salah wa atu zakah. how many times the Imam in Salah he recites verses like that. This shows us the importance with regards to the matter of zakah. It's like the sister, it's like the companion of the matter of salah. And that's why Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he said that I will fight whoever differentiates between salah and zakah. We know after our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, there were certain tribes who denied zakah. Zakah, we're not going to pay zakah. There's no such thing as zakah. Zakah was only during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for you, Abu Bakr, Caliph, we do not pay you zakah. SubhanAllah. And there were others who were lazy. They just did not want to pay. There were others who were miserly, did not want to pay, etc. So various groupings. How did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala respond? He said, I will fight those who differentiate between salah and zakah. And maybe one reason, because 32 times in the Noble Quran, salah and zakah mentioned together. SubhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, salah between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That relationship, that link between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your zakah, your relationship between yourself and fellow man. Relationship between yourself and the people around you. The huquq ul-ibad, the rights of mankind. Other names for zakah, well, zakah is also called sadaqah. In the Noble Quran, subhanAllah, in fact, one of the most important verses, Surah Tawbah, verse number 60, dealing with the 8 categories of people who are allowed to take zakah, those who are recipients of zakah, Surah Tawbah, verse number 60. Allah begins, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Verily, sadaqah is for this category and that category and this category, the fuqara, masakin, etc. What word did Allah use? Allah used the word sadaqah. So zakah is also called sadaqah. We know that today amongst people, we make a distinction between zakah, which is the obligation, and sadaqah, which is my nafil charity, my sadaqah, I just want to give some money for the sake of Allah. But as for the terminologies of the Quran and the Sunnah, well, we find zakah being called sadaqah. And we mentioned that verse. We also find that it is called a haqq, it's called a right. We find in the Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. And with regards to their wealth, there is a right upon that wealth. What's the right here? What does it mean? It obviously means the matter of zakah. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, the ulama are in agreement that anyone who denies the institution of zakah, there's no such thing as zakah. I do not believe in zakah. This individual ceases to be a Muslim. We're talking about somebody who knows, somebody who understands, somebody who knows that the Muslims believe that this zakah is a pillar of the deen. He says, I'm not bothered about that. I do not believe in zakah. And away with zakah. This individual ceases to be a Muslim. But as for the one who is lax, as for the one who is lazy, as for the one who loves his money so much, subhanAllah, he does not want to pay any zakah because he's a sinner, then this individual is still a Muslim. He's still a Muslim, but no doubt, subhanAllah, he is a major, major sinner. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we find that the ulama state, the one who does not pay zakah due to laziness, due to miserliness, with regards to this dunya, number one, we will fight this individual. The Khalifa of the Muslims, the Muslim government, the state, etc. They will fight this individual or the tribe or these people until they pay zakah, as Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala did. As Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala did to those who were not paying the zakah. Number two, that the state has the right to take by force the zakah from this individual. And they could also fine him and take extra due to the fact that he is not paying up, so they can fine him. Your zakah 2.5%, that's what we'll take. And we'll also fine you another 5% due to the fact that you are lazy, due to the fact that you have delayed, due to the fact that you are messing around, subhanAllah. Then barakah from this individual's wealth is removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating, الزكاة ما خالطها إلا أفسدته. that the wealth of zakah, if it mixes with your other money, then it spoils the rest of your money. Because remember, brothers and sisters, you got $1 million in the bank account. Now that all the conditions of zakah are to be applied upon them, subhanallah, that means that 2.5% ceases to be your wealth. It now becomes the wealth of the poor. And if you still keep it there in your bank account, it is going to spoil the rest of your money. It's going to spoil the rest of the money in your bank account. It's going to contaminate it, because that money, that haqq, that zakah, that sadaqah, it's not your haqq. It does not belong to you. Once the year has passed, it now ceases to be your property. It's now the property of those 8 categories of people mentioned in Surah Tawbah, verse number 16. Then we find that rain is withheld by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people do not pay their zakah, as per the hadith reported by the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, those were the punishments for the individual in this dunya. He's lax with payment of zakah. He says, I believe in zakah, but when I turn 60, I will make hajj and then I'll start paying my zakah. We say, firstly, the government fights him. Number two, takes from him the zakah by force and takes extra as a fine upon him. His barakah is removed from his wealth and rain is denied. Allah musta'an. Then as for the hereafter, we say that this individual, according to majority of the ulama, he's still Muslim, he was lax, he believed in it, but he was lazy. We say that those are hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, warned with regards to such an individual. Punishment in the hereafter. His wealth will be turned into serpents and they will chase after him. And they will say, Ana kanzuk, ana maluk. I am your wealth, I am your treasure. Why are you running from me today? I am your treasure, I am your wealth. Why are you running away from me? And he runs away from that serpent in the form of his wealth. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Some of the wisdoms with regards to payment of zakah. We find, subhanallah, that the 5 pillars of Islam and generally worship ibadah in our religion, you know, there's different forms, different shapes, different types. Gives everybody an opportunity. Not everybody is a zakah payer. Not everybody has the ability to stand in tahajjud for hours on end. One individual, mashallah, he can fast the entire year. Ask him to give 100 rands, $100 in charity, too difficult. Someone else, ask him to write a check of $500,000, no problem. Ask him to go for hajj and mix with the people and go through all of that hardship. Oh, that's too tough for him, subhanAllah. And so we are all different. And so Allah has given us all of these different types of worship. Maybe for one of them, the doors of rahmah open up for you. And you really find that easy for you, mashallah. Ask this brother to stand in tahajjud, very difficult. 5 daily prayers, be there, you know, in the soft, with the takbir of the imam, extremely difficult. Ask him, subhanAllah, to stand up for the rights of the oppressed. You know, he's there. So, different things for different people, right? We have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunity. Allah has given us opportunity through these different acts of worship for us to earn his mercy. Walhamdulillah. So, different forms of submission and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it's a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this wealth, the ni'mah, the bounty, the favor of Allah upon you. It purifies you. Your payment of zakah purifies you from miserliness. It's a sign that you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He's given you. It's compassion from your side. In fact, when you give somebody, you pay your zakah, and you find that this person, you know, used the money, they benefited from it, that feeling, the sense of comfort and the sense of satisfaction in your heart, you cannot put a price to that, subhanAllah. You've given these individuals, you've provided this meal for these individuals, and now you've seen, mashallah, and they thank you, alhamdulillah, that satisfaction in the heart, you cannot put a price tag to that. And also, this causes love between the various groups, between the group of the payers and the group of the takers. Right? It's not like, you know, oh, look at these people, they just have, and they don't come and give us. It's all just for them. But when they come, especially if they do it, you know, personally, they come and they meet and they sit and they distribute directly to the recipients, subhanAllah, opens up the hearts of both groups. There's an increase in your wealth, O rich man, O payer of zakah. The more you give, the more you will get. Also, there is spreading of the wealth around. MashaAllah, Islam wants for the wealth to spread around and not just to be kept like a treasure, you know, under the mattress. Allahu musta'an. And zakah, this institution, also one of those facilities for social security amongst our society. Walhamdulillah. So those were some of the wisdoms. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Zakah is an obligation upon whom? Who has to pay zakah, brothers and sisters? What are the conditions for the obligation of zakah to apply upon me? Then let's see. Number one, the payer must be a Muslim. Zakah is an obligation upon the Muslim, not the non-Muslim. You need to come with the key of Islam first. You need to enter into the bounds of Islam. Then these obligations will apply upon you. Number two, you need to be free. You not be a slave, because the slave and whatever the slave owns technically belongs to the master. So you need to be a free man or free woman. Number three, you need to be the owner of nisab. You need to have that minimum threshold. Zakah is not an obligation upon every person out there. You need to have a minimum amount of wealth. What is this minimum? We will discuss later on. Set down by the Sharia. This minimum threshold or quantum, it is called the nisab in Arabic, nisab. So you need to be a Muslim, you need to be free man, free woman, you need to have the minimum threshold or quantum, which is called nisab. That's number three. Number four, you need to have complete ownership of this wealth. I will discuss this later, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. You need to have complete ownership of this wealth. It cannot be this type of wealth where you do not have any access to it at all. Maybe, for example, you lent Brother Salim some money, $20,000, and you don't know where Brother Salim is now. You know, you've been trying to hunt him down. You don't know where he is. He's in Australia, he's in Canada. Sometimes he's this place, that place. So that wealth technically, you know, is owed to you. A debt, which money which is owed to you, technically this is an asset, mashallah. But because you're not sure whether you're going to get this money, you're going to see it, you're not going to see it, you're not going to taste it, it's not in your hand, then technically zakah not an obligation. So the fourth condition, that you need to have complete ownership over this wealth. And the fifth one being that the hawl or the lunar cycle has to pass over that wealth. The lunar cycle has to pass over that wealth. Many of us, mashallah, we usually work out our zakat in the month of Ramadan. Makes it easy, especially because we are using the Gregorian calendar most of the time. So it's difficult for us to 10th of Shaban or 14th of Dhul Qa'dah, etc. So Ramadan makes it easy, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, so we said, zakat is an obligation upon every Muslim, upon every free individual who owns nisab, has the threshold, has the minimum, the quantum, has complete ownership, number four. And number five, the lunar cycle has to pass over that wealth. Take note, brothers and sisters, if we say every Muslim who's free, then technically that would apply upon the child, that would apply upon the one who is insane, that would apply upon the one who is senile, etc. Do they have to pay zakah? We will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The opinion of majority of the ulama is that 100% yes. The kid, the child, the insane, the senile, etc. They all, the Down syndrome, they all have to sort out zakah. I will discuss that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala very, very soon. So again, zakah is an obligation upon every Muslim who is free, who owns the nisab or the quantum, has complete ownership, and the lunar cycle has passed over it. As for the kid, the insane, the senile, we will discuss that when we come to that matter, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we continue. Hayyakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.